Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and sisters, this is Sister Leola and calling from that New Orleans, Louisiana, and I am so happy to be here on the prayer line, worship and fellowship with my brothers and sisters. Let us have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father, just once again. You blessed us that we can get on this prayer line and to come and fellowship together, and thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your love that you bestowed upon us. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave everything for us. And now he's interceding for us. What a blessing it is to be blessed of the Lord, to pray for us. And yet, so many still disobedient. Oh, Father, we pray today, Lord, Father, that the people in the world, Lord, will hear your call. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Bless us tonight while we are on this prayer line. When we hear the words of the Lord, Lord, help us. Forgive us, Lord, and that we may hear the voice of God as he is calling his children. So thank you so much. Bless each and every one, Lord, Father, from near and far. Lord, we ask him that you would touch each heart and that we may understand the word of God and what he is teaching us through his Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. Oh, it's so awesome that we don't give God thanks for all the blessings that he bestowed upon us. He sent his Holy Spirit to teach us and lead and guide us. Lord, help us. Help us that we may understand the will of God. So thank you once again, Father, as we read this word. We ask him to bless over your word. Help us and teach us while we are reading, those that host the prayer line. Thank you once again in the blessed name of our Savior, our Father, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining. I would like to just read just a little bit. And I see that Sister Power is on. And Sister Power is just you and I right now. And if you can get your book, Maranatha, And we can read together. I read a part, you read a part until others will join us. It's called The National Ruins Follow National Apostate. And I'll begin to read as you listen. And it, the scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 20. Give me just a second. I have it. Amen. If you can get your Maranatha, the Lord is coming, if you can get that book, I'm going to read the first part and you can read the second paragraph, Sister Powell. And I'll begin to read it. I pray that you can hear me. Let me make sure everything is okay, my brothers and sisters. And we are welcoming everyone that joined us on Advent Light Ministry. I'm reading scripture, Isaiah 24, verse 5. It says, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the law, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. The people of the United States have been a favorite people, but when they restricted religion's liberty, surrendered Protestantism, and given countenance, the measure of their guilt will be full, and national apostate will be registered in the book of heaven. The result of this apostate will be national ruin. By the decree enforcing the institution of the papacy and violation of the law of God, our nation will disconnect herself fully from the righteousness. When the Protestant shall stretch her hand across the gulf of the grasp of the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hand with the spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as the Protestant and the Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehood and delusion. Then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan, and the end is near. Now, Sister Powell, I will open your line. I want to know if you have your Maranatha.
No, I don't have it, Sister Leola. I don't have my one here, no.
Oh, you don't have yours. Okay. Well, we have
no one.
We have, well, you can comment, Sister Powell. This is the national ruin.
Look here, you were reading from what scripture?
I'm reading from Isaiah 24 and verse 20 and verse 5.
No.
Isaiah 24 and verse 25. And it's talking about how the United States has been God's favorite people, because you know when the Bible says the United States, it has been the lamb, but now they speak as the dragon. It says, but when they restrict religious liberty, surrendering Protestantism and giving countenance to the popery, the measure of the guilt will be, and the national apostate will be registered in the books of heaven. And the result of the apostate, it will be national ruin. And by the decree enforcing the institution of the papacy in violation of the law of God, and our nation will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. So, Sister Power, as we've been sharing this on the prayer line, I hear it with on a prayer line chatting too, all prayer lines with most Adventists. talking about the nation will disconnect herself from righteousness, and that's when they say the hand across the bow and grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism. And, you know, and then we're going to see, and it says, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution. So, therefore, the Constitution said, we the people supposed to have the right, but we the people won't have no more rights. So everything, every principle that the Constitution have written is going to go against our Constitution. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to begin to open the line. And Sister Powell, I wanted you to read that second paragraph, which is powerful, but I don't know if you can, because it goes through spiritualism. Satan appear. That's the one I want, the one I had just read. But do you have it?
Yes. No, I don't have it, but I had was reading, as you mentioned a while ago, reading the testimony for light and blessing, and it, from our prophetess, as she had been saying to us, as it is drawing near to the end, the work of giving the last warning. So this is a warning that we have to give to the world. And this warning is that, you know, she gave us a special warning to tell the people that you have read and see what the government and the other churches, them joining together to bring this union so that they will be able, they are trying to overpower or overthrow the remnant church. But God said in his word that, you know, his word and his truth and his light is going to stand. All he is asking each and every one of us is to be faithful to him, faithful to the light that he has given unto us, so that we will be able to present this message to the world, because we know everything is coming down on the sun, on the Sabbath, right? Is that the Sabbath will be a test. And we know that this country, that was a country that we know how she grows, right? She was in the wilderness, and we saw what happened to her, how she grew, and all of a sudden, right, this country is the one going to change the old world, and then the old world follow them. So we just have to be ready and really prepare our heart for the word that God has given unto us, and that we will able to stand on that great day. So that was what I was studying, reading the testimony from the light and blessing by our prophetess Ellen G. White. So it actually stated the same thing, but he's asking us, right, to be faithful, and also the churches that we are in, right, that, you know, God will, you know, people may think that the church is going to destroy, but no, God's church is not going to destroy, it's going to be strong. So he's asking us for us to be mindful and right to present our life fully surrendered to God. Yeah, so that was what I was studying. So it actually combined with the reading, but I can't find my book that you mentioned, Marinato. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And these reading, and Sister Power, I'm going to mention to you, I was out this evening, and I'm telling you what is further reads, how men going to go depart further and further from God. And Satan is gonna be permitting to have power over. Oh Lord Jesus! As I told my, I was looking for something like this. As power, I got to read it. Listen to what it says. They say, as men depart further and further from God, Satan is permitting to have power over the children of disobedience. He hurls destruction among men. And Sister Pat, I was just about to tell you, I hadn't read all the way down yet, but I was there trying to talk to this gentleman, and his wife was sitting on the other side. Well, she had came in later. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, you just point your middle finger at your dad? And he was telling him, nice. He said, that's why you're not going to. I just sit there and listen. I sit there and listen for a while. I said, oh, my goodness. You just point your middle finger at your dad? And he said, you see what he's doing, huh? He said, he don't listen. And he was telling him, he said, you know what? When the police have to deal with you, then you're going to see. But let me tell you something. And when his mom sit down, he gave the finger at both of them, point the middle finger at both of them. I said, and he was cussing, he was spitting, he was doing something, everything. You know what? These children. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, just pray for him. I said, pray for your child. She said she's tired. She's so tired. She's kind of fed up. But I just was trying to encourage her to pray for him. I said, but ma'am, I said, but one thing, you see your child. She said, you know what? He's only 13 years old. But guess what? This young boy is as big, as tall than his mother. He's like 6 feet. He looked like he's about 5'11 or 6 feet tall. And the boy is only 13. And you should hear his voice with the power, demonic voice. And he's spitting, he's throwing things. And they shouldn't bring him in the store. But anyway, I'm telling you, I said, Lord, the children so disobedient. I told him, I said, do you understand the Bible when they tell you to be obedient to the parents? He looked at me and cursed me out. I said, okay. I just backed up. I said, Daddy, I said, you know, just got to pray for him. And you know, and he just said, and then it was pointing at his mom is the fault. And then his mom come tell me, it's the dad is the fault. I said, y'all can't be against one another. Y'all got to stand together, got to stand firm on this. So I just want to share this as I was just hearing and learning. And we was in the church, Sister Powell, and I'm going to just go forward after this. We was at church Sabbath. The pastor called for all the mothers, if you all could, because at one time the girl said, I can't take it. She said, mothers, please get the children. I'm like, these children belong to not one of these mothers in church. But yes, y'all wanted to get it. But you know what the mothers said? The mothers trying to handle these children. The children is fighting the mother. And then the mother is standing there looking at them and not saying nothing. So what? And the pastor say, you know what? Love the children like they your own. I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me. I couldn't. I have to stay far away from them because I get kind of agitated and I can't deal with them. So I just, and the mothers was giving, respond in the church, but here it is right here. Disobedient. Satan is working through those children, Sister Powell. So I'm going to stop there and I'm going to let you all give your comments or just share your testimony. But I see this, that's what's happening in the world today. So I just want to thank God the times that the Bible has mentioned to us. When Christ said, you remember in the scriptures, Christ said when they was crying for him at the cross, he said, no, you cry for your children. You remember that, Sister Powell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember that scripture? He said,
yep.
No, cry for your children. And I see why. That mother was
because,
so sorrow. So go ahead.
Yes. It is the last day, Sister Leola, and Jesus is drawing near. And more we saw, you know, what the enemy is doing to our young ones, right? And as you mentioned about that young man in that store, right, and also at the church with the mothers and these children, parents cannot talk to their children again, right, because the government take over control of our children. And it's the parents who, the things that parents used to do to scold their children. They are timid. Right. They are afraid because, you know what? These children call 911 and their parents can go to jail for that. So we see the standard, what the enemy, and you know, that is the enemy doing these things. And as it is coming to the end of time, we are going to see this happening more and more each day, right? My sister was sharing yesterday that while she was on her step, there were some little children came down, and the little children then sat down on her step. And eventually, she said these children was, one was around six. They can be more than six, a little boy and a little girl. And their parents was above them, you know. I don't know if the parents was watching them. And these two six-year-old was holding hand coming down the road like wife and husband, right? And after they come, she said she saw the little guy, little girl hold and hug him and kiss him, right? Kiss him. I kissed the little boy and they hold and they came on the stoop and was sitting. And she said, if you saw those two little children, how they were behaving, it was like a man and a woman. And their parents was way up the top watching. So she called, they didn't know that she there, that my sister was seeing them. And she come and said, they were eating candy too, leave the paper on the step. And my sister said, please do not leave the candy on the step. And when my sister said that and they look up and saw her, oh boy, they all move and go up the road. Who can tell me that a six-year-old, what a six-year-old know, holding hand, coming down, hugging and kissing? Right?
Sister Powell.
That is where we
are at this time. Heard, I've heard it. I've heard it just not long ago. A six-year-old, I've heard it not long ago. I heard that. I was shocked myself. What you're saying, I heard that not long ago, just last week. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So when
yes,
we
ma'am.
Look at these things is happening, we saw that the enemies are enemies out there. And who is trying to do? They said, I'm coming for your children. So we saw
yes,
that
ma'am.
The enemy is coming for our children. So we just have to hold fast, my dear. You know, this mm-hmm. is thing the Lord said, we're going to see things happen in this world that never happened. And we as a peculiar people and a peculiar free people are supposed to go out there, right, to call mm-hmm. the chosen mm-hmm. ones, to preach the message, to let people mm-hmm. know what is happening because it's going to be bad in this world.
Yes.
Right? So I just want to thank God, Sister Leola, that I could be here. I hope in the line I deal with, I didn't hear anybody, so I come for the computer.
I was trying to get on. I had to do my internet, and I had to do it like twice.
Yeah.
I had to do it a couple of times because my internet.
Yeah.
And I should have started it way early, but I started. We had a busy day today, so yeah. I was starting at 5 after 6, trying to get it together. So,
okay.
Yeah,
all right. Just
something like that.
So,
we got another one on the line. We got our brother here, so I'm going to open his line. But, Sister Power, it is so true. It is so true. These things are happening. These 6 years old are doing things that we can't imagine, but it's going on. So let me open.
Yep.
Give me just a second. My phone is, I just got to refresh my, so give me just a second, brothers, because my computer is turning and I just got to refresh it sometime. Give me just a second. Why do this? All right. It should be refreshing now. I should be able to open the line. Just give me a second. Okay, give me a second. And look, everybody popped up. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Sister Powell, thank you for just sharing with us and sharing that scripture. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what's going on in the world today. So let me open the next line. Brothers and sisters, we're asking you to press 1 so your line could be open. Amen. Amen. We open the next line for 985-232. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen. 985, your line is open. 232.
Amen. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for another day in the land of the living. I just want to thank him for watching over us and waking us up. I just want to, for everything he has done for us and everything he will be doing, I'd like to read a prayer. Dear Lord, we want to surrender our own will and put our own focus on you so that we are able to go where you have called us. Amen, amen. I want to thank you, Lord, for his words of wisdom. And this is a great scripture because we all want to go where he is. But do we want to do the work? That's what's the question. We're striving for to get where he is. And we know that we are working hard to get where he is. And he's calling on his children to come where he is. So we just want to continue to strive and go to the Lord, and he know what he's looking for, and he know what he wants. So he gave life to us, and he know that who he wants to come to him. So we all are his children, no matter who we are. So we just want to thank him and continue lifting him up until we reach our destiny. And I just want to continue thanking the Lord because Sister Leola has talked to my nephew that was in the hospital on his bed of affliction with heart surgery. And they was kind of disappointed and whatever, his mother and him, but he came out, looked like the Lord touched him somewhere. And just the first day he came, it was today, and he preached on Revelation 22, chapter 18, 1 through 20. And, you know, he was preaching about the Lord, what the Lord wanted us to know, that he wanted, he was, I can't tell it like it is. I'm not a good carrier. I can't teach like I would love to. But he just said that, you know, God wanted to tell the truth. God wanted to tell his people the truth. And that's what he was teaching. So, and we just was in studying it, and I'm like, praise the Lord. He come out teaching in Revelation. Praise the Lord. So Sister Leola touched him. He come out in Revelation. Strong. And he got worked up because, you know, Revelation, the Lord was given in the Holy Ghost, so he got worked up and his throat got stuck. He was getting excited. He got excited. So I was telling him to give him some water, some lukewarm water, because his throat was closing in on him, and I told him, give him some air. Make sure he got some air, undo his tie and stuff. So all that work, and he waited a while before he got back on, and he came back. He said, the devil don't want him to preach there, but he got to. He must preach it. I said, my, he's trying to do revelation. See the devil going at him. He said, but he must preach it. So I thank God for that, you know. And he's doing a good job. He's just starting on up the right foot. So we're going to pray for him. His name Isaac Jr. Pray for him that he's starting off at the right place. And the Lord is working with him because he hit him today. So we just want to ask for prayer for my nephew Isaac Jr. and the family, the Valen family. Just pray for them and pray for my whole family, in fact. But he just had open heart surgery. And pray for Advent Light, our family, off and on the prayer line, all those with their missionaries, and pray for all the four corners of the United States, the hospital, and everywhere else. God bless. That'll be it for John Steps Out. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brenda, for your testimony. God is good. God is good. And we most certainly will lift up my nephew as God works with his heart. Amen. And thank you, Sister Brenda, for blessing my nephew to encourage him to about the Sabbath and anything else that he needs to know. Amen. So, sisters and brothers, we just thank God for that. And we would like to lift him up in prayer. In our later prayer, amen. But we got others that has pressed one, and we're gonna lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John also in the family, in the prayer. So let us go to this next caller. We can get through our callers. We got 518-650. I'm sorry, she has been waiting a while. So now we're opening the line for 518-650. Your line is open now. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Bob Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany in New York. Can I sing a song?
Amen. Go ahead, Sister Barnaby.
Yes. I sing the mighty power of God that makes the mountain rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day, the moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, yes, not a plant or floor below, but makes thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. Creatures that borrow life from thee are subject to thy care. There's not a place where we can flee, but God is presence there. And I'm going to read Jeremiah 10, verses 13 and 14. Jeremiah 10, verses 13 and 14. When he uttered his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he caused the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we come before you this evening. Nothing in our hands we bring but simple to you we come. And worthy and holy and done nothing good, but God, because of your grace and your mercy, we are not consumed. Because your compassion fail not. It is due every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Nothing in our hands we bring, God, but we come because we know you are God. And you are a God who cares. There's nothing too hard for you. So we are asking you to anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Create in us clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with your free spirit. You are a worthy God. You are a mighty God. You are a powerful God. You are more than words can explain. You are more than worthy to be praised. You see each and every one of us this evening on this prayer line. Those of us who are partaking and those of us who are silent, God, you know our hearts. Search us and know our heart. Try us and know our thoughts. And if there be any wicked ways in us, lead us in the way everlasting. You see our children. You see our grandchildren, dear Father. You see our brothers and our sisters. You see all our families. Oh, God, you see the need. Please, God, supply it according to your riches in glory. You are a God who never change your compassion, fail not. It is due every morning. Heavenly Father, great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed, your hands have provided. Great is your faithfulness unto every one of us, because you have kept us from day to day. You have provided food, clothing, shelter. You bring us out and you bring us back. You keep us from all harms and all danger, all evil seen and unseen. You are a mighty and a powerful God. Thank you for everything you have been doing from the day dawn until the night come. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow brings. But God, because you hold the future, Lord, we know that you are in control of everything. So help us to trust you with all our heart and to lean not unto our own understanding. Lord, in all our ways, help us to acknowledge you, because only you alone can direct our path. You, oh, use our refuge and strength, dear God, a very present help in time of trouble. God, our faith look up to you, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear us as I pray, oh God, hear me as I pray. Take all of our sins away, dear God. Oh, let us from this day be wholly thine. Father, I put every mother, every father, every child. I put everyone that had breath this evening all over the world in diverse places. Lord, you are everywhere at the same time. You see suffering. Please, God, intervene. Take over. Feed the hungry, God, clothe the naked. Open shelter for the homeless. Heal the sick. Anoint each and every one that is sick, oh God. Put your healing hands, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you, and there's nothing you cannot do. And because there's nothing you cannot do, all we have to do is depend on you. Give us a clean hands and a pure heart, O God. Help us to put away sin, because if we have sin around us, and if we have iniquity in our heart, O God, you will not hear our prayer. So Jesus, please wash us and cleanse us, mold us and fashion us. Restore us, O God. Take away self and take away pride. And Lord God, help us to come boldly before the throne of grace as a little child so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of our need. Lord, we need you. No one else can do nothing for us but you, Lord. You see the suffering. You see the struggling, God. This world that you have made, you need not expect the world to be like this. But because of sin, everything turned the way upside down and The devil wants to do what he wants to do, but Almighty God, I put everything into your hand this evening, Lord. I put everything into your hand. I put this prayer line into your hand, and each and every one that intercede on this prayer line. Father God, be with us. Lord, you know our heart. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God. Father God, help us to hide your word in our hearts so that we might not sin against you. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness, dear God. And help us to live a clean and a pure life. To share, to love like you love, Lord. Help us, Jesus, to love like you love. Because if we do not love like you love, there's no way we can see your face. Lord, you have something prepared for us who are preparing for your kingdom to see you when you come. Oh, God, help us to be faithful, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us to do the things that you want us to do. Help us to go the place that you want us to go. Help us to do what you want us to do. God, we need you. We need you, Lord, and no one else but you. Because in times like these, we need that Savior, and we need you. You, dear God, as our Savior and our best friend. So help us to do what for, help us to do, Lord, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Have your way in our life. Take full control of us. And let everything be done according to your will. Be with every mother, every father, every child. Be with each and every one that had break, God. Some are praying and some are not praying. Some of us know about you, your goodness and your mercy, and some do not know. So Lord, we that are praying, oh God, help us to pray. And those who do not know you, Lord, and those who do not know you, God, please give them a vision, so that they may turn to you and help us to live a life so that they may see you working to us. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. I beg and I ask, Father God, be with the one who is going to break the bread of life this evening on this prayer line. I put that person into your hand, dear God. I'm asking you, let he not be seen, and let he or she not be seen, but that you be seen doing everything. So have your way and let your will be done according to your will. I beg and I ask, and I give you all the honor, the glory, the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving, amen.
Amen, amen. We want to thank Mother Bonnevie for the prayer, the mid-prayer. I'm going to just call this our mid-prayer because we're in the middle of the hour now. We're in the second part of the hour. So we are so grateful to Mama Bonnevie on this prayer line. You know, she's another mother of this prayer line. So we just thank God for her, because if it wouldn't be for these elderly women, God hears their prayer. God understands. And he said that, mothers, you teach the young women. And by God's grace, He sent the mothers. He said the mothers and the elders or the older to teach the young. He has said it, then he honored it. So, Mother Bonnevie, we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your effort. We appreciate your coming on this prayer line, and we appreciate you as a sister, and we love you on this prayer line, and we always, always, when you're not here, we miss you, and we pray for you also. So thank you once again for that prayer that you always lifting us up here on Advent Light and everyone that's come on. So thank you once again for the beautiful prayer. Amen. And I second that prayer. And thank you, Father, for keeping Sister Bonnevie and allowing her to pray for us. Amen. So now, brothers and sisters, we thank Sister Bonnie for her song, always the song to Christ and giving him her heart. Amen. So let us open the line for the rest of our brothers and sisters as we are got our hands up. We're going to open 518-744. Your line is open. You can give us your name and your prayer, place where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is Brother Rick from Fort Wayne, New York. And I was just wanting to thank Sister Barnaby for that beautiful song and also for that beautiful prayer lifting us all up. And you know, we need more prayer because we need more power. The enemy is going about as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour, as you and Sister Powell were talking earlier about the young people, how they're being taught and allowed to do things and led in a certain way. You know, Satan is almost seems that he has full control of this world, but we know that we serve a God who is more powerful than he, so we don't have to worry about that. But there are times that it just seems like he has won, but we know that Christ has conquered, and in the end, Satan will not win. Christ will be victorious, and we will get to go home with him if we are faithful. So I'm just encouraging my brothers and sisters to be faithful, and this prayer line is one way that we can get together. We can hear others' testimonies. We can share our testimonies. We can lift up our prayer requests, and we can realize that we are not alone in this battle. Sometimes it feels like you're alone, but, you know, we are never alone. We always have Christ on our side. But sometimes we just need a brother or sister to draw near and to listen to them, just to realize that, you know, this battle is a battle. It's a fight that is not going to be easy, but we know who the victor is, and if we are on his side, then we will gain the victory with him. And I just praise God for his goodness to me and my family. Praise him that he has won the battle for us, and all we have to do is follow in his footsteps. It's so easy. But we make it hard sometimes, sister. We try to do it on our own, and you know what? We're not going to make it on our own. We need him. Christ and only Christ. And the sister Barnaby was singing her song. There's one part of the song that says, his creatures are subject to his care, which we are his creatures, and we need his care. Otherwise, we are going to lose this battle. So let us not lose hope. Let us gain hope from the songs, from the scriptures, from the testimonies of our brothers and sisters, so that we can continue on this fight. And it is a fight, but we can continue on. We know we are gaining the victory. I believe the scripture says, he who is faithful to the end, you know, we'll gain that victory. So we have to be faithful. And some days it's not easy. The world is calling very strongly. You see our young people going in many different directions. And the elders in our church, we get together every Thursday night, and the last two Sunday, or the last two Thursday nights that we have gotten together to pray, we've prayed for our young people because, Satan is just, he's pointing out every one of his tricks to deceive them, to fool them, to trick them into thinking that he has the answers, which he doesn't, as you know. And so we've been praying for young people, and we got to keep on praying for all of our young people. You know, God is good. We had a great service at the Kingsbury Church, but just a sad note, as shortly after our Sabbath school was started, you notice traffic backing out and up in front of the church on the main road, which is just a little bit down the driveway. And we come to find out a man riding a motorcycle just, we're talking a quarter mile down the road from the church, got run over and killed by a car. And I was just thinking about that, just what a way to go. I don't know if this man knew the Lord, if he was saved, that, you know, his judgment day came when he died. And we have to, each one of us have to remember that. Judgment from the Lord will come at a specific time, but when we die, our time is up to make changes, to get things right with God. So basically, when we die, that means our judgment has come, because we have no more chance to make that right. So we need to be prepared each day to receive the Lord, to meet the Lord if he shall, you know, deem that it's our time to go. So I was just thinking about this gentleman that lost his life there, and I mean, that's a very, very sad thing. And I just wish that I had known him and known whether he knew the Lord or not. And so my prayer tonight is for my daughter, actually, for my wife and family, but that each one of us does our part in reaching our neighbors and our friends and others for the Lord, so that if by some chance their time is up, that they'll be ready to meet him in a positive way. And when he comes, when Christ comes in the clouds of glory, that those who called to him, they'll meet him in the air. And that's a very solemn thought, that many people won't be meeting him in the air. And I'm just hoping and praying that the Lord will give me the courage, the strength, and give me the appointment to meet these people and to point them to him, point them to Christ, who is our only hope. But let us continue in prayer for each other. And I just want to especially lift up Sister Tanika. I know her and her daughter are trying to get a place of their own, and they need prayer. Things are very expensive, and it's not easy to get your own apartment at times. So please look up Sister Tainito, and she and her daughter are searching and trying to get a place of their own. We know that God is watching their situation. He is taking care of them. But, you know, just that he would continue to do that for them. So I thank you, sisters, for opening my line, and continue to pray for me, and I will continue to pray for each one of you. Thank you.
Amen. Well, Brother Rick, did you know the Lord has blessed Sister Tanika and our daughter, and they have a place now. So we can just praise God. We just give God thanks for that. Yes, they have their place. So I just praise God, thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And also, you said that the young fella, the fella that he was killed on the motorbike? He was killed?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. It was someone you knew?
No, it wasn't anybody I knew. We thought that it might have been one of our church members, because one of our church members, Mervin, he's from Jamaica. He doesn't have a car, so he rides a little electric scooter around, and he sometimes rides church on that, and he did not arrive in church. We tried calling him, and we did not get an answer, but we found out later that he was one of our other church members trying to get to church. Once a bunch of us got there, you know, early, I was greeting, so I got there early, and a number of people arrived for Sabbath school at 9:30. Right after 9:30, this happened, and then nobody else could get to the church because they had the road blocked off from both directions. Mm-hmm. My wife was trying to come, and we had numerous church members that couldn't make it to church because the road was blocked off because of this accident. And I actually went down to check to make sure it wasn't Mervin, our church member, which it wasn't, and I saw them loading a stretcher with a body. I mean, they had it all covered up, but they were loading into the corner of the vehicle, so that's not a good sign. And I just pray for that family that lost their loved one. I don't know who they are. Still have not heard yet. But,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay, well, it's always sad to hear someone in bed, but it's even sadder to know that they die without Christ as the Savior. So, you know, and that's why the most important
you know, when God put on our heart to share with that person. As my sister was
Amen.
Saying earlier, you know, my nephew was in the hospital, and the Lord just impressed me, you know, this is second bypass, he, you know, and I didn't want him to leave here without Christ, without knowing truly what Christ wants him to do. But I was happy to hear my sister say that he's preaching the gospel. So I'm just happy. And you know, the Lord is going to speak to him and grow him, you know. So we just got to keep him in prayer. And we just pray for that other family. By God's grace, I'm hoping that they will get to know or learn more about the Lord. Amen. So, Brother Rick, thank you so much for coming to share with us. And as we are here, brothers and sisters, on this prayer line, Brother Rick, I'm going to tell you, it is such a blessing to be here this many years, fellowship with brothers and sisters. You know when the Bible says that people are running to and fro, having itchy ears? Look, I'm so happy to be in one place for Christ, standing still here, and listening to how we got mothers to pray for us, and how all this, and even Brother Eli's waiting. I'm going to get to him just a minute here. But this is the blessing what God has given to us. So we're going to move forward and go so we can have our prayer. So thank you so much, Brother Rick. We're going to lift up your family, Sister Ashley, and all the others. Okay? So thank you once again. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Sister Tamiko gave me a message. She said, let me just tell the brothers and sisters. She said, okay, bear with me. My daughter passed out at a job. She had to be sent to the emergency room. She has asthma, and there is no air condition at the job. Please pray for her, in Jesus' name. So that's what she sent to us. For her daughter, so that's why she's asking us to pray for her daughter. So, yeah. So, okay, brothers and sisters, we're going to open Brother Eli line, and then we're going to go into prayer. So thank you, Brother Rick, and everybody, please be on standby because we do need to pray. So let us open Brother Eli's line, and then we can pray, offer the prayers. Okay? Thank you, brothers and sisters, for being patient. And also, okay, give me just a second. I'm going to have to refresh my computer again because it's, give me just a second. Oh, Father, thank you. Okay, brothers and sisters, it is back on track. Sometimes it just, okay, now I will open. Brother Rick has struck. So let's open Brother Eli line. Open, Brother Eli. Your line is open. And be brief. Be brief, please, brother, because we definitely need to go into prayer.
Okay, Sister Miola. Hello, my brothers and sisters. How we do, beloved? God is good. He's worthy to be praised, my brothers and sisters. Sister Miola, I like to thank God for his love and his mercy because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Miola, I have a prayer request tonight. My prayer request is to lift up my mother in prayer. Don't forget to lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, don't forget to lift up Brother Shaq to in prayer because Brother Shaq was sick over this week. So please lift him up in prayer. His name is S-H-S-H-A-Q. Lift up Brother Shaq in prayer that the Lord will deliver him. And don't forget to pray for Sister Shakaya A-K-Y-A. 8. Lift up Sister Shekiah in prayer. Pray for Sister Joanna. Lift up Sister Joanna in prayer. And Sister Miola, don't forget to encourage Sister Tamiko and tell Sister Tamiko that her daughter needs to drink eight cups of water. Don't forget to text her and tell her to wake up her daughter. Her daughter should drink eight cups of water, because the water is very important. It's healthy for her. It's healthy for her body, because water, you see, you have to drink eight cups of water. And may God bless you, Sister Miola, my brothers and sisters on this line. And Sister Miola, don't forget to Sister Tamiko and tell Sister Tamiko to tell her daughter to drink 8 cups of water.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli. I sure will. But you know what, Brother Eli? Right now, we're going to go into prayer. And while we pray, we're going to ask you, we're going to ask Sister Powell to offer Sister Mother Bonnie, pray for us the first half. Now we're going to ask Sister Powell to offer the prayer. We're going to ask Sister Powell to offer a prayer for Sister Tamiko, for Sister Brenda, just for all of us, Sister Powell, because Sister Tamiko, did you hear what I read for Sister Tamiko? She said her daughter had to be rushed to the hospital, the emergency room.
All right. Yes, my dear beloved. This is the time that we can all offer up the prayer for the Israelites.
Right.
Let's pray, my
dear. Right. And make sure give a prayer for my Brenda. Request a prayer for my brother's family. Yes, Isaac. Yes, ma'am.
Oh. Okay, all right.
That's your request.
Let's pray, my dear beloved. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who healeth all our diseases. Most righteous and eternal Father, which art in heaven, forgive us, Lord, of our many sins and our shortcomings. We just want to thank you for the privilege that we can come before your throne room to bring glory and to bring honor to your wonderful name. We thank you, dear Father, for this line that we are here learning, Lord, your word and your truth. We thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit that you have given unto us. We thank you for your words, that your written words that you have placed, and also for the testimony that you gave unto us, and for your people who come to join and to lift up their voice to the ill, from whence cometh their help, because their help cometh from you, Jesus Christ. Now, dear Lord, you are in the most holy sanctuary, and as we appreciate the work that you have been doing, investigating judgment with that book open, dear Lord, we are asking you, please, Father, allow our names to be stayed in that book of life, so that when you come, we, your children, will be there with you. Help us to be obedient. Help us, dear Father, that we will be doers of your word, where we can go and share with others. Now we come before you, dear Lord, all with all the various requests that my dear sister, Lord, had placed to you, Sister Barnabas, Buddy, Lord, sharing the names and the desire of our heart, and pour out all to you, because you told us that we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. So we want to thank you for all those prayer requests that reach up to you in the most holy sanctuary. And now, Lord, we have extended prayer requests to present to you with Brother Isaac, dear Lord, who was in the hospital. You are the great physician. You have touched his body, and he's out, and his sister was able, dear Lord, to present the truth to him. And we want to thank you for that truth. Sisters are presenting the word that they can go and present to their flock. So we are asking you, Father, to send your Holy Spirit and the angels to teach him, so that he will present the plain truth to their flock. Heavenly Father, you are God. We know that you are working miracles in the life of your people. We heard a while ago, good report, that Sister Tabitha had received a place, and the enemy is wrought with her, dear Lord, that allow her daughter at work, that she was able to rush to the hospital by passing out, dear Father, just as they get their apartment, dear Lord. But, Father, we know that the enemy is a loser. Allow Sister Tabitha and her daughter to continue to trust you and to have faith and believe that you are able to do all things. We also lift up the request from your dear son, Brother Eli, faithful servant who is praying on behalf of Brother Sister Tabitha and give her instruction of the health reform of drinking with the nutrition medicine that you have given on to us, the natural medicine of drinking water, dear Father, to help her build her immune system and to build up her whole body. So, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for that. And as he's asking for fire for his mom, Vershak, and all the others, you know the names, Lord. I may not call all the names, but you have it record. So we present the names them to you, dear Lord. Father, we glad to know that we can call you Father. And we lift up our dear brother, Elder Rick, Lord, the testimony and praise, Lord, and even the sad news with that young man who had lost his life. He does not know. We do not know who he is, but you know who he is. Lord, we present it to the family of that young man to you. We are asking you to bring comfort, to bring peace and also joy even in this sad time, Lord, that they will able, Lord, to know that, you know, these things will happen and help them, dear Father, if they do not know you, so that they will receive you as their personal Savior. Through this death, dear Lord, no one knows the minute and hour when your probation will close. So help them, dear Father. If they don't know you, that they will seek for you. They seek to find you, because you said, if we seek, we will find. So we present them to you, Lord. We present Mother Rick, Lord, and Ashley, and the children, them, Lord Jesus, or the school, Lord, and all the family members of Brother Rick, Lord, his mom and his father, the house, Lord Jesus, in which we give you thanks to know that it's through me completion where mom and dad will be through inside. And we thank you for the work that Brother Rick has put in, the labor, the strength, the help that you have given unto him so that he could do a work on his mom, dear Lord, because we know working on houses is not easy. The funds is not easy to find, but you have provided, and we just want to say thank you. Lord, we present Ashley to you, dear Lord. You know everything about her. We thank you for you who are keeping her. Lord, in spite of what you are keeping her, and also we place the children to you and also the children's father. Lord, touch his heart, his mind, his soul. Allow him to give up, Lord, and to let you lead. We just want to thank you, Lord. Bless bless all our dear sister Carlo, dear Lord, and we present him to present her and her children to you. We also present Sister Brenda and Brother John and her grandchildren and her son. And Lord, we thank you for the good news of the house, Lord, and the ramp that she will be getting, Lord. You are so good, you are so great, and she is worthy to be praised. She's praising you for all the many blessings that you have been blessing them, and also with the words that they have been putting out. Tonight, dear Lord, my request to you, dear Father, I thank you for life, I thank you for health, I thank you for strength, and I present my niece to you who have called this evening and say she is coming down with a leprosy, Lord Jesus, or something like a fit, Lord. But you know everything about her, dear Lord. And we are asking you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, to touch her body, dear Lord. She cannot work and she's also the child, the little daughter, is afraid to see when she gets into that stage. And we are asking you, dear Lord, send your angel at her side, comfort her husband, Lord, and her other children, so that they will show her love and compassion. And as she decided to follow you, Lord, move from the city to the country. And when she goes, dear Father, she had felt that is happening to her. Lord, you know everything, and you gave us natural remedy. So we ask you, Lord Jesus, to place your hands upon her. She may know you are still by her side. So we want to thank you. We lift up this speaker, Brother Akib. Continue to bless him, keep him, that the message that he continue to present, the three angel message, the message of the gospel that's supposed to be going around the world, Lord Jesus, and to allow people to know that, you know, your coming is near. So prepare it, Brother Aki, this evening, so that this presentation, dear Father, that we will be able to be changed in our life and be obedient to share your gospel to you. Thank you for hearing, and thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' loving name. We pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mama Powell, for these prayers. Oh, God is so good. So thank you for blessing us. Thank you for our mothers, Mother Powell and Mother Barnaby, our mothers of this prayer line. We are grateful. Thank you always for blessing us in prayers. So, brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem is here, and we would like to open his line so he can bring us the message. May God be with him, and may God go before him to give him everything that he needs to present. Amen. So we will open his line, brothers and sisters, and we thank Sister Power for lifting up our speaker and everyone else. Amen. Let's open his line.
All right.
Brother Akeem, the line is open.
All right. Thank you so much once again, and glad to be back on this evening. And I pray that since our last time, friends, that you have been blessed. I'm sure you have been blessed. God has preserved our lives. He's brought us here once again this Sunday. And as we continue in our study of the three angels' messages, we're dissecting at this time verse 8. We've covered the aspect of the judgment in verse, the two judgments in the first angel's message, and that the reason we want to enter into the investigative judgment is because there is a God who came from heaven to die that he might represent us before his Father, Jesus Christ. This is the everlasting gospel. The gospel, the effects of which is eternal, is everlasting, because this gospel divides men into two groups. Those who choose to follow their carnal hearts and reject the good news, and those who choose to receive this good news of Christ incarnate, Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ ascended, Christ coming again. All good news. And so this message is to go all the way around the world until everyone makes their decision to receive or to reject it. And it is to go all the way around the world because part of the good news is not only that Jesus has come, not only that he has died, not only that he has risen, but that he is ascended, that he is our high priest in heaven above. Why is that important? Because in the investigative judgment, if the foundation of the judgment, according to James chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, is the law of God, no man can stand before that law. Flawless. No man can stand before that law without flaw. No woman, no child. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But through the high priestly intercession of Jesus Christ, he has sent his Spirit into the world to be his omnipresence, affecting the life of every person who will look to him. And the effect is what? To give that person his own life. which was a life of purity, a life that was perfect, a life that was righteous, a life that was what it should be at every stage of its development. And so what now happens to us at conversion? God gives us that life. That is what justification is. It is not only a declaration that we are clean. It is a transformation of the human heart. And out of that transformed heart now, that is covered and pardoned by the life of Jesus that was perfect, his life being counted as our own, God then says, I will not only cover you with that life, but I will put it in you so that you will begin to live it out. It will become part of our very being, that shining out of us will only be the works of Christ. And then we can work the works of God, because Christ is God. And all that he did in his life was wrought out by God. So if he dwells in us, then what will our works be but the works of God? And this is what God wants us to do, friends. And what is the work of God? To believe on him whom God had sent. Because to trust in Christ, to believe on him, friends, is to allow him to come into the life by the Holy Spirit and to transform us to such a degree that now we can live a holy life. Now, how is that connected to the investigative judgment? Because, you see, Christ died on Calvary. His blood was shed. But the high priest did not end his work there. Once he shed the blood of the sacrificial animal, he caught that blood and applied it in the sanctuary itself. But you remember, Christ is both the sacrifice and the priest. But if he doesn't rise from the dead, how can he apply the sacrifice? Do you see the importance of the high priestly ministry of Jesus then? Jesus had to rise for one reason, because he never sinned. The fruit of sin is death. But if there was no sin in his life, then it was somebody else's penalty he was paying when he died, right? It was our penalty. He became sin for us, therefore he perished. But he could not stay in the grave because he himself had never sinned. He was paying someone else's penalty, even ours. But the second reason that Christ rose from the dead, friends, is to fulfill that work of a high priest. And what is the work of a high priest? To apply the blood. Therefore, Christ is not only the sacrifice, but he is the applier of the blood. He is the high priest. This is the work of Christ in the investigative judgment. He intercedes on our behalf and applies the power that is in the blood. And what is the power that is in the blood? According to the book of Leviticus chapter 17, and I believe verse 11, it states, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of what flesh? The life of the very innocent creature that was killed, right? The life of the creature that was killed was an innocent life. A perfect life. It was a pure creature. In the same way, the power in the blood is the life that Jesus lived before the blood was shed. That life is now applied to us, but Calvary is the portal through which we access that life. Christ could not apply the life to us unless he gave his life for us. He had to first die for us so he can give the life to us, the death, as Jesus says. The death is the portal to the life. This is one of the reasons Christ says a seed is thrown into the ground and it dies. But friends, out of that very tree, it dies in order that what might spring forth from it? Life. The very thing that grows into a tree comes from a dead seed. In the same way, Jesus says, I am that seed. And the only way you will be able to access the life in me, the life that I lived out, is I first have to pay your penalty. The seed has to die. So Christ dies, but he rises again. So now as high priest as well, he can apply the blood to us. The power of an unsullied life. The power of an untainted life. The power of a life that was pure and holy and perfect. This is what we receive. And it is applied to us by the high priest. And this is why it is our work, as I mentioned, as we were covering the first angel's messages, it is our work to call all men then, therefore into the investigative judgment. It is our work to call all men to realize that in Christ, they do not only have one who took their place, but one who stands in his rightful place as high priest to apply the very blood that he shed for us, to apply the power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. But what is that power? It is the life he lived before he was sacrificed, a perfect life. This is what we receive. So this is the first angel's message. It is a call to realize that, yes, the judgment has begun since 1844. But friends, if you stop there, if you stop even at the point, if you go a step further and you say the foundation of that judgment according to James 2, verses 10 through 12, the foundation of that judgment is the law, and you stop there, it is hopeless. There is no hope. But if you go further and you show that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, friends, that we can come to him, and as we surrender our lives to him, he will give us a life that measures up with the law, which is what? His own life. Friends, then there is hope. When you bring before them the very Savior that died because he had great compassion on them, still lives to intercede for them. Friends, this is when the investigative judgment has hope. May we not present this truth without hope. Because friends, in and of ourselves, without Christ, we can never measure up to what the law requires. But by his life dwelling in us, we can live in harmony with the principles of the Ten Commandments and the depth that it covers. May we present Jesus as the great supporter and advocate, because he is the hope that we have, the only hope that we have of understanding in the judgment. Therefore, let us exalt him. But we also found out that it says, worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea, a call back to the Sabbath, one of the laws that have been broken. And it's so important that the Bible points it out. It references that text by quoting that portion, worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea. In other words, calling men back not just to God's law as the foundation of the judgment, but calling men, women, and children back to the reality that there is a specific part of the law that has been neglected. And if those who will not turn and lay hold of the high priest, who paid the penalty for that, who took the judgment upon himself, if they reject him, there's no way of escaping the judgment to come. This is alluded to in the phrase, and the fountains of waters, an allusion taken from the flood itself, right? An allusion taken from the flood itself. Hold on one second, friends. An allusion taken from the very flood itself, revealing that just as a judgment came in Noah's day, a judgment is to come at the end of time. And that judgment, this is not in reference to the investigative judgment now. This is a judgment of wrath. And we know that that comes according to Revelation 15:1. It comes in the form of the seven last plagues. Now, if we are in Christ, if we come to him and he's our advocate, then friends, we have a support system that never fails. But if we do not come, friends, there's no way to escape this coming judgment. Just as there was no way for the antediluvian world to escape the flood except receiving the message of Noah and entering into that ark. Right? So, and friends, that aspect of the ark even goes so deep, because the ark is Christ. But there is a method in which Christ desires to reveal himself to the world that will actually draw them to himself. And this, to a large degree, has been lost by Seventh-day Adventists, but by many, not all. But we'll cover that at another time. Now, in light of this, in light of the world turning away from God's law, what led them away? Verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So in other words, there is a power, there is a church, we found out, that has risen up. And last week we found out that that church is none other than the papacy. That's Babylon the Great, according to Revelation chapter 17, that has led the world away from the law of God. This is why there's a message coming back to them, calling them back This is why the first angel's message was set up, to call men back to the very law that Babylon is calling them to break. Now, as we move forward, I want us to pray, because now we're going into a new section. We saw that Babylon is fallen. That first fall was in the formation of the papacy, because for the papacy to form, it took the compromise of church leaders uniting with Constantine and other civil leaders in order to form the Roman Church. So the Roman Church itself formed in apostasy. It fell from the truth, and it became the mammoth system of deception throughout the Dark Ages. From the time it arose, and then throughout the Dark Ages later on, it deceived, and that deception is still here in the world today, deceived men, leading them away from the standard of God's righteousness, His Ten Commandments. So the angel, the second angel, exposes the system, saying that it is fallen. The first fall was what? Was when the papacy was formed, a church that formed in a fallen state, because the leaders itself of the church had to compromise in order to form this church by uniting with the civil powers of Constantine and many like him. So this is the first fall. Babylon, the church, is fallen. But then it says, is fallen a second time. As we go into this, let's pray. Father, illuminate our minds as we cover this second fall. Help us to understand these things. And Lord, help us to give these messages in wisdom and tact, but yet also in a straightforward manner. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So now, what is the second fall? The first fall is with the papacy. Fallen from truth, coming away, the church leaders coming away from Christ to depend on the state, the civil power, in order to enact its dogmas. Not relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit, not relying upon Christ, but on the civil powers of the earth. And this was also mentioned in Revelation 17, 1 and 2, that she committed fornication with the kings of the earth. Notice it even says, made all nations drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In other words, there's an illicit union between church and state. Now, the second fall happened, we're going to see it here, in a specific year. This is very interesting. And now, this is delineated and pulled from the chapter, the final warning in the book, Great Controversy. This is the second fall. Now, you remember, when the papacy fell, this is really powerful. This is so deep, because when the papacy fell, this was the first part of Babylon being formed. And the papacy was formed in a fallen state. It's not that it fell. It was formed in a fallen state, because it was formed by compromising Christian leaders, uniting with the civil power. But friends, this is one of the reasons that Martin Luther, he wrote about this in a sense, about coming out of Babylon. And he acknowledged to a great degree that the Babylonian system, the Antichrist system, was the papacy. But he wrote a book about the Babylonian captivity. And the aspect is that we learn later on, this is so powerful, that just as Israel, when the time came, some stayed, but there was a group with Ezra and others that came out of Babylon when the decree came that they can go back and build a temple. There were people who said, you know what, this is our home. Jerusalem is our home. And we must come out of Babylon that we may go and rebuild the city of God, that we may rebuild Jerusalem and its temple, starting with the temple. That was the decree that Ezra was given, that he sought to accomplish with the help of many others that left with him. But there were some who were comfortable in Babylon. You can find this in the history of the Old Testament. As Israel came out in books like Ezra, you can find out that there were those who stayed back in Babylon because they became comfortable there. They had businesses there. They had major influence there. Ezra and those with him went back and they left. They came out of Babylon to rebuild the temple. But later on, it escalated. It's not just a decree to rebuild the temple, but now a decree was given by Artaxerxes Longimanus in 457 BC, about approximately 400 years before Christ came in the flesh. There was a decree given now to also rebuild the entire governmental system of Israel. The judges, the magistrates, the Levites, all of these people were now free to build back up Israel and the system, the way that it operated before. And this is where the 2300-year prophecy actually begins, in the year 457 BC. This decree to go back and build Israel, to give it its autonomy, even though it was in a sense under the Medo-Persians. But they were given now that right. Now, friends, this is powerful because at the end of Babylon's, now that was for literal Babylon. By the way, the same thing happened to Abraham. Abraham was in Babylon, the land of the Chaldees. But he was called out of Babylon to start a new people that would ultimately become the Hebrews and the Jewish nation later on. So in light of looking at this, you have the same parallel at the end of time, because the Bible acknowledges the papacy as Babylon. Spiritually, remember, after the cross, these geographical places become symbols of spiritual powers. And so Babylon is identified as the papal system, the first part of it. And out of Babylon, it's very interesting, came Martin Luther. From him was formed whom? The Lutherans. You had men like John Tyndale. You had men like John Wesley, who ultimately formed the Methodists. And you had different groups that came out, were formed by men and women that came out of Babylon. That is the papacy. That's how all of these different denominations rose up, because one, they were coming out of the papal church. They were coming, but they sought to advance, coming further and further away from it. The sad reality is, some only took only certain amount of steps. They only received a certain amount of light. Then somebody had to take the light further. And then somebody else came and took it further. And because men loved men more than the truth of God's word, men, for example, Luther went forward with the truth of righteousness by faith as much as he understood it in that time. But yet when someone else came out after Luther, carrying the light further, because Luther still believed in a warped view of transubstantiation. It was called consubstantiation. So it's not literally that the bread is the body and the blood is the act, and the wine is the actual blood of Christ, but consubstantiation is that the presence of God is in the bread and in the blood. The presence, the actual presence of Christ is in the bread and in the blood. And we know that that is not true. Another person came with further light and revealed, no, the bread and the blood are emblems. They are symbols. They don't literally have the presence of Christ in it, or they are not even literally the blood and the body of Christ. But you see, Luther didn't go to that step. And because men love Luther more than the truth of the word of God and the advancing light, they stayed with Luther. You see what I'm saying? That's how denominations formed. Because those who stayed with Luther said, we'll be called the Lutherans. Those who went further, they wanted to be called by that leader that took them further. And when another leader came that would take them even further, those who followed the previous leader said, we won't leave this guy. But there were some who followed the other leaders. So you see, another denomination is formed because they call themselves by their leaders many times. So in light of this, we see, however, churches coming out of the Catholic Church to reform. And the ultimate Reformation Church, friends, that took all of the errors and threw them away, and then took only the truths from each of these movements that came out of Babylonian captivity spiritually from the Catholic Church, the movement of destiny that was able by divine guidance to dissect the truth from the error of all these churches and only accept the truth, was the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The Seventh-day Adventist movement, a church that says, you know what, we won't limit the light by setting up creeds as other churches have done. but the Bible is our creed. And in that word, there is ever-unfolding light progressing us forward into the future. This is why this is a progressive movement, not politically. What I mean is we are a progressive movement in that we are ever advancing in the light. But here's the catch. The light that comes will not contradict the previous light. That's why we have to be careful. That's why you have some people today, because they don't understand this concept. You have some people today who are falling into many different deceptions. They think that they are gaining new light. But in gaining the new light, so-called new light, they give up the spirit of prophecy. In so-called gaining the new light, they give up the old Sabbath and accept lunar Sabbaths. Stuff like that is happening, friends. But one of the things we have to remember is that the light that comes will not contradict the light that came. Ever remember that. Because this, for example, the lunar Sabbath idea is spreading like wildfire. And along with it, many other views that claim to be advancing light, but it is contradicting the former light. And so, in light of this, these denominations were as groups coming out of the Babylonian captivity, the hands of the papacy itself, which the Bible calls Babylon. So these movements came out. The ultimate reformatory movement at the end, Seventh-day Adventist movement, was formed. But I want you to notice this. Many people do not know this as it concerns our history. It says in Great Controversy, chapter 38, the chapter, the final warning, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul and foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now watch this, friends. This is deep. It says, this scripture points forward to a time when the announcement of the fall of Babylon is made by the second angel. Because what we just read there was Revelation 18, verses 1, 2, and 4. But the scripture in Revelation 18, verses 1, 2, and 4, points forward to a time when the announcement of the fall of Babylon as was made by the second angel in Revelation 14, 8, repeated with the additional mentions. Now watch this. With the additional mentions of the corruptions which have been entering the various organizations that constitute Babylon since when? Since that message was first given in the summer of 1844. Do you see it? Do you see when the second fall happened? The first fall was with the formation of the papacy itself, because it was a church formed in apostasy. Men compromised, but rather than relying on the power of the Spirit, they relied on the power of the state. Formed the Roman Church. That was the first fall. Idolatry and many other things like simony, purgatory, indulgences, all of these things, relics, entered into the church, and this was indeed a fall from truth, from the law of God itself. But friends, it says Babylon is fallen twice. That is because Babylon, the very churches that came out during the Babylonian captivity, have returned to the very Babylonian captivity that they were delivered from. So many churches are now returning to the papacy itself, because you see there were two doctrines that kept them connected. The two doctrines that kept the majority of the churches that left the papacy connected to its mother were the aspects of Sunday sacredness and the immortality of the soul. So because that connection was there, there was a way that in time the papacy can pull these movements back to itself. You remember, Revelation 14 says that she is the mother of other apostate churches, that the papacy is the mother of harlots. That means other churches that have apostatized from the truth, other churches that are unfaithful to Christ. And so what do you think these churches will be called then? If Babylon is the papacy, it's its mother, are the mother of these harlots, these fallen churches, then what will these fallen churches receive the name of? They're all so-called Babylon then. I pray that made sense.
Any baby that comes out of its mother's womb, any baby formed to a mother, given to a mother and a father, friends, is called by the name of their parents. It's called by that name, that last name. In the same way, because the papacy was connected by the umbilical cords of Sunday sacredness and the immortality of the soul, this is why the papacy is called the mother of these other apostate churches. I pray that this makes sense. When did these other churches, when were they considered fallen by Scripture? When did the fall of that second fall now, of all that comprises Babylon? You remember, Babylon the Great doesn't, now we're learning, Babylon the Great doesn't only cover the papacy. It covers now, secondly, it covers her daughters. This is why the fall is twice. You see, the first fall was with the mammoth system of deception, the papacy, a system formed in apostasy, formed in falling from the truth. But there's a second part of Babylon, and that is the evangelical churches today. It is the churches that are still connected to the papacy in that they teach Sunday sacredness and they teach the immortality of the soul, which is the majority of the churches in the land and around the world. This is why Ellen White says, now notice when Ellen White points out, according to Great Controversy, that the fall of these churches began. You see, they've always been connected by Sunday sacredness and the immortality of the soul, many of them. Some of them, they understood that, oh, well, the immortality of the soul is not true. Men like Martin Luther understood that there's no immortality of the soul. But friends, there were other things and other ways in which he was connected with them. Still connected, even though advancing in the light. And that's how it was with the churches until the summer of 1844. You see, in that year, historically, friends, there was a man by the name of Charles Fitch. This was before the Great Disappointment. A man by the name of Charles Fitch, powerful preacher of righteousness. This was in the days of the Millerite movement, he himself being a Millerite. He began, as he studied the scriptures, he began to realize that, wow, we as Millerites know that what we are preaching concerning Christ's soon return is true. They may have gotten the event wrong, but they got the date right. Something did happen on that day. But the aspect of Jesus' soon return and that judgment is coming was true. And so as they gave this message, friends, though not understanding exactly what would happen on that day or thinking that it would be the second coming, they began to realize that the churches did not like this message. They hated to hear the message that Jesus was coming again. While claiming to love Jesus, they did not want to see him. And as this happened, he began to realize that, whoa, these churches have fallen from their love for God. They've fallen from the truth. And they're beginning to persecute and make fun of the Millerite movement. And so in light of this, along with other aspects, in the summer of 1844, he gave his first message, calling these churches that rejected the truth of the second coming, started calling those churches Babylon. That was the first time that was ever heard. It was so bold and ahead of everybody else in the Millerite movement that even William Miller, when he first heard it, he was against it. He wasn't ready for it. This is actual history, friends. He wasn't ready for it. It was as time went along, however, that he would accept the message. But when Charles Fitch first began to give this message, it stirred the hearts of the people. It caused people to be taken aback. Some were stunned. Some were angry. Some rejected it at first. But friends, this was the actual truth. This is, now notice what she says here. It says, Revelation 14:8, this second fall, this is where it began. Because she says here, the scripture in Revelation 18 is yet future. But concerning the fall of Babylon in Revelation 14, she says, this fall, Revelation 18 is only a repeat of a fall that had already begun with the first time the second angel's message was proclaimed. And when was that time? It says, Revelation 18 is to be repeated with the additional mention of the corruptions. Notice that. The corruptions which have been entering the various organizations that constitute Babylon since when? Now notice she says the various organizations. So it's not, she's not just talking about the Catholic Church. Now she's talking about the fallen churches. She says, have been entering in to various organizations that constitute Babylon since when? When did these corruptions start entering in? Since that message was first given in the summer of 1844. This is what we are realizing. The second fall, friends, was the time when Charles Fitch and others in the days of the Millerite movements in the summer of 1844 began to realize that the second fall of Babylon has come in the harlot daughters not receiving the message of Christ's soon return. And it's not only about them rejecting the message of Christ's soon return. Notice she states here, with the additional mention of the corruptions, plural, which have been entering the various organizations since organizations that constitute Babylon since that message was first given in the summer of 1844. So we're realizing here that the second fall of Babylon came in the summer of 1844 when it was realized that these churches were not only rejecting the message of the soon return of Christ, but there were other corruptions that had been steadily entering into the church. As a matter of fact, we could even say that it probably began a little before that. But now it was being called out. This is an approximate year in which we realize, wow, these churches began to fall further from the truth rather than reform. This is why God had to form a new movement. Friends, there's no other movement after that one. But friends, he had to form a movement that would take all of the truth, that would totally come out of Babylon, forsaking the errors and taking the truths from all the previous denominations, whether it be the papacy, whether it be the Methodists, whether it be the Presbyterians. All of these movements, the reason that they're so attractive is because it is truth mingled with error. And so this movement rose up to separate by the power of the Holy Spirit truth from error and only teach that which was truth. I pray that this made sense, friends. This is the second fall of Babylon. It is the fall of the Christian churches, starting in America and spreading around the world. The fall of the Christian churches that once left the mother of harlots and started returning to her. That once left the mother, but started returning to her in doctrine, in teaching, in concepts. Corruption started to enter into her, and the result was God moved upon a man to realize this, that while these churches are what the scriptures call Babylon, this is the second fall. As we move forward and we continue studying, we'll see next time the aspect of how all nations have drunk of this deception. Now we're beginning to understand that the deception is not, that this wine is not literal wine, because the woman is a church. The wine is actually a representation of doctrine. But if the wine makes one drunk, it is a representation of false doctrine. Wine, when it comes from the cluster of the grapes, is new wine. We call it grape juice. The Bible just uses one word for it, wine. But friends, as that wine is left out, it becomes fermented. And it is this kind of wine that makes a man drunk. In the same way, true doctrine is as wine from the cluster. But friends, unless it is maintained in its purity, the doctrine can be twisted. And when that doctrine is twisted, it causes men to go against the truth. In other words, being in a spiritual state of drunkenness. My prayer for us is that we will continue to live in the truth, that rather than follow Babylon, we will live truthful lives, not just in the sense of doctrine, but friends, in the sense of the practical nature of how we operate from day to day. For a person can be a Seventh-day Adventist, yet Babylonian in their thinking. They can be a part of the church, yet at the same time, they can be of the devil in how they treat others, in how they live their personal lives, in whether they are self-sacrificing or whether they serve themselves. For the carnal man is the Babylonian spirit. But the new man is the very spirit or the very mind of Christ. With that, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray, oh God, that these things make sense. Some of you may have been hearing this concept for the first time, but I pray, oh God, that we would have seen these truths and that, Lord, as we continue to study, that we will only go deeper and deeper, and that, Lord, we may be able to stand not only as professed believers, but true believers in the faith. This is my prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. And Brother Akeem, I pray that my sister Brenda understand everything that you mentioned, because she's the only new Adventist on here. And I just want to offer a prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as my sister Brenda is on the line, we do know that, Lord, she and her husband is new Adventist, even though she's been here a little while. But still, she's getting a better understanding. And, Father, we just plead before you that you would open up her understanding and give her the wisdom, Father, to know what the ministers are speaking on the prayer line. And, Father, so she can be prepared and she can know what to do and how when Christ comes in the clouds of glory. So, Father, we thank you so much for this prayer line. Thank you for Brother Akeem. And we always ask you to continue to bless him with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, Father, as you bring it to us. And, Father, continue to bless his family. Be with him throughout the day and night. Lord, continue to be with us tonight as we go to sleep. We thank you, Father. Be with all my brothers and sisters and all those from far, from the Netherlands and from all the other countries, Father. We bless your name because here what we are learning, we learn in your word. And, Lord, please be with us and teach us. Let your Holy Spirit help us to understand everything, Father. And we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, Brother Akeem, we thank you for blessing us tonight. And may God give us the wisdom and understand that we understand everything he's saying. Amen. So, sisters and brothers, I'm going to play this song for you all. And God bless. And hopefully we see you all the next day. That will be Thursday. So thank you once again, Brother Akeem. Bless. God bless. Amen. I'll play this song. Oh, boy. My computer. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's connected again. I'm just going to redo it, and it'll play. Okay. It'll be on in just a second. All right. Okay. It'll play the song. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to try. Okay. Thank you.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am. Redeemed.
speak, for I cannot be silent.